lovely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And welcome to Balance Point Live. This is our Sunday evening message. Today we're going to be taking a look at the subject of God's love for the fallen. God's love for the fallen. Well, let us open our hearts and let us bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne with praise and thanksgiving as we come together to learn of your love. As we are just a couple of weeks away from remembering the sacrifice that your son made in his glorious resurrection, we just want to take this time out and learn of, you know, why you did it, Lord, why you did it. And Father God, we just ask that this message would just permeate our hearts and spur us on to movement and to love of our fellow men and women on this earth. And we'll thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, today's Balance Point is going to be a little bit different because usually we do kind of verse-by-verse study, but today's going to be kind of rambly on my part. But we do have a theme verse today that we are hanging this message off of. And it is in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. There's kind of a parallel verse that I'd like to mention. Where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Today I've titled this message, Love of the Fallen, or God's Love of Fallen Man. Now, we look at our world and we go, man, our world is jacked up. There's no love. If you happen to be a believer, you see that there's no love of God in the world. You see that we're fussing and feuding and scrapping. You see that we're about hurting and killing each other, everyone after their own thing. And we wonder, I don't know if you realize this, but often we wonder, how could a loving God allow such a world to exist? How could a loving God allow the evil that we see? How could a loving God allow the bad things that we see? And the reality is, a loving God allows it because he's loving. You see, here's the thing. There are many benefits that come to us, despite all the bad, that come to us because God loves us. Now, for love to be a valid love, and for us to validly love God, we must have the choice. If there's no choice, there is no love. And with that choice comes the ability, comes the possibility that we would sin. Without love, without the ability to choose, or rather with the ability to choose, comes the possibility of sin. But as I quoted before, where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. And tonight I want to talk to you about that grace, because it's an exciting grace. When you really think about what God has given us by allowing us the ability to choose to love him or not to choose him, there are many benefits. One of the first area benefits that we gain from the fact that we can choose or not to choose to love God is we gain knowledge of God. we gain knowledge of God. You see, if we had no ability to choose, if we were locked in like the angels, we would only have a limited knowledge of God. We would know God as our creator. Yes, God made us. And we would know that. We recognize that. We'd understand that. We would know God as our sustainer. And, you know, we know that God holds us together. God holds us in the palm of our hand, of his hands. And we know God as our righteous governor. We would know God as the one who gives the orders and we do them. But because God gives us the ability to choose to love him, because God gives us the ability to choose to reject him, we get to learn of a greater dimension of God. You see, apart from the ability to reject God, we would never know God as our Savior, because we wouldn't need to be saved. We would never know the dimension of God as a loving God, because love only comes where there is the potential for rejection. We would also not know God as a loving God, because where there's no ability to wander away, there's no need for somebody to come after you. You see, it's because God loves us that God pursues us. And pursuit is the height of love. You see, God pursues us deeply and passionately. In fact, God pursues us so hotly and passionately that, consider this, God pursues you and he pursues me right up to the very gates of hell, right up to that very last moment. And so we learn of God as a loving God. Next up, because we have the ability to reject, that also gives us the ability to be adopted. You see, without the ability and the free choice to love, without the ability to be fallen, we wouldn't have the ability to be adopted. We wouldn't have the ability to know of God as Abba, our Father. We wouldn't have the ability to call out and say, Father God. We'd be limited to the plane of Lord God, Most High God, Holy God, Creator God. And so, one of the benefits that we accrue, because God did not create evil, but inherent in the fact that God made us as moral free agents who could reject him or accept him, we get to know God in a way that's greater than the angels. The next benefit, or the next grace that we get from God loving us enough to give us choice, is God allows us to know him as a God of mercy. To know him as a God of mercy. You see, without the ability to fall, there's no ability for God to show mercy. Without the ability for us to slide away, there's no ability for God to show us grace. You see, Without sin, there's no need for grace. Without sin, there's no need for the cross. And one could ask, well, you know, if God saw all this, and why did he do this? Because he is a God that is abounding in grace, and he abounds in mercy. He abounds. So we gain in knowledge. But because we have the ability to fall, because we have the ability to sin, we not only gain in knowledge, but we gain in capacity. You see, without the ability to sin, there is no ability for us to grow in holiness. There's no ability for us to grow in righteousness. You see, if we were perfectly obedient like the angels who did not fall, the angels that did not fall, they have a level of holiness. They can never get any holier than they already are. But because we have that ability, because God loved us so much to allow us, watch this, we have the ability to have a range of holiness that is greater than the angels. We gain the ability, or we gain the capacity for greater and greater holiness. Why? Because there is greater and greater darkness within us to be overcome. We gain the ability, or the capacity, for greater righteousness. For as one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many are made righteous. Now this is not a righteousness that is born of our own effort, of our own thoughts, of our own plans. No. For the angels have a righteousness that is inherent in their creation. Even the creation itself has a righteousness that is inherent. Had we not fallen, we would have a righteousness that was inherent in our creation. But because of God's love for the fallen human beings, we have a capacity for righteousness that no angel ever will have. Because no angel will ever attain the righteousness of Christ. And so, yes, we are fallen. Yes, we are imperfect. But in our imperfection, let me tell you, in our imperfection, God's righteousness is made perfect in us. In our ungodliness, when we surrender to Christ Jesus on the cross, when we surrender our shame and our guilt, when we surrender our self-worship for the worship of the true and living God, given to us as a free gift, is nothing less than the righteousness of Christ Jesus. The third thing that we gain a capacity for is we gain a capacity for reconciliation. We gain the capacity to have the gulf between the creator of the universe and mankind bridged by a cross of wood, bridged by the shed blood of Jesus. And that is a capacity that we gain that we would not have. We would not have the capacity to contain the blessing of the cross. The next capacity that we gain is we gain the capacity to do good. We gain the capacity to do good on this earth. You see, if there's no sin, if there's no wrongs, then where is the space for the rights? Let me repeat that. This is going to sound a little odd. If there's no capacity for wrong, then there's no true capacity for right. You see, out of the brokenness of this world, we gained the capacity to mimic our Heavenly Father as He does good works in the heavens. We gained the capacity through His Son Jesus, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we gained the capacity to do good works. Where sin brought sickness, we gained the capacity to care for the sick. Where sin brought illness, because of the grace of God, we gained the capacity to bring wellness. Where sin brought injustice, we gained the capacity to bring justice. You see, without the ability to choose, there would be no capacity to do good. Without the ability to choose, there'd be no opportunity to be a blessing. You see, just as our free moral agency allows us the opportunity to do wrong, to reject, to fall short, because of God's grace and His love, we gained the capacity to do good. We gain the capacity to show love in a way that only was available to God. To show love without respect of what might be returned to us. To show love where there's no possibility of that love being returned. For God so loved His world that He gave His only begotten Son. What was the possibility that love would be unreturned? That love would be unreturned. And because of that love, we have the capacity to love those who will never be able to return our love. And that's a capacity that we would not have apart from the fall of Adam and the love of God. Without that. Now, here's something that's going to sound a little odd. And some might not believe that this is a blessing. Some might not believe that this is a gain. And yet it is actually a gain. Because of our fallen nature, watch this, we gain the capacity to suffer. We gain the ability to suffer. All things work together for the good of those that love God and look forward to His coming. All things work together for the good of those that are loved by God. Watch this. All things. It doesn't say that all things are good, But it says that all things will work together for good. The good, the bad, and the ugly are going to work together for the good. Our suffering works for our good. You see, it is in the place of suffering that we have the opportunity to draw closer to God. You see, the suffering is not the thing, but it's what the suffering brings out. You see, it's in suffering that we find blessing. It is in suffering that we find ourselves closest to the one who made us and the one who cares for us. It is in suffering that we bear the greatest glory unto God. You see, without sin, there'd be no suffering. Without sin, there'd be no pain. And without sin, there be no opportunity for God to reveal his glory in and through us. Without suffering. I want you to think about that. If there's no suffering, then there's no place for glory. There's no suffering. There's no place for glory. And we see that in its greatest place on the cross where Jesus suffered. Where Jesus suffered. And in the suffering of Jesus upon the cross, not only was sin dealt with, not only was death dealt with, not only was sickness dealt with, but we saw the greatest manifestation of the glory of God. The greatest manifestation of his glory was in the suffering on the cross. The greatest manifestation of God's glory in our lives is as we endure our daily sufferings. For in enduring our sufferings and trusting in God, we declare to the world, even as it was said in the scripture, though he may slay me, this is Job speaking, though he may slay me, yet I will trust in him. And that trust in God is to the glory of God. It's also because of suffering that we gain the capacity for patience. How many of us have been laid up sick? And maybe it wasn't a sickness unto death. Maybe it was just something, you know, like a bad flu that got a hold of you for 2 weeks and had your head feeling like somebody placed a broad axe right between your eyeballs. And you fought it and you fought it. And eventually you just gave up and said, okay, God, if this is where I'm going to be, this is where I'm going to be. If this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen. And you learned patience. How often do we run and we flit from place to place like a bee flitting from flower to flower? And we try to run ahead of God. And God has to do something to cause us to slow down and to back down. And in that place where we're sitting, we have to be patient. Be patient. Man's fall begat suffering, which begets patience. So what can we say where sin abounds? Grace all the more abounds. Where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Now, I've talked primarily about the advantages that come to us because of God's love of the fallen here on earth. And I'm not touched on the advantage that accrues to us in the eternal state. But consider this. Consider this. Had Adam not fallen, we would have lived eternally, but we would have lived eternally in this plane of existence, on this planet or on several planets. I don't want to get into that kind of theology, but we live eternally. And there'd be no need for the resurrection. There'd be no need for the resurrection because there would have been no sin. But I have to wonder, what kind of access would we have had to heaven had there been no sin? You see, it's because of sin that we have access to the heavenly realm. It's because of sin that Jesus came, suffered, and died on our behalf so that we might regain eternal life. But when we regained eternal life, we didn't just regain an eternal life to be lived on this planet. Because you see, the scripture tells us that when we see him, we will see him as he is, for we will be like he is. You see, it's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that we will be resurrected. But when we're resurrected, we will not be resurrected in these bodies. We will not rise in these bodies. We will not rise again to roam this earth. Though, as eternal beings, we will have access to this earth. But no, because we will be resurrected as he is. Watch this. We will have the access to heaven as he does. What kind of access is that? We will have access to worship at the very throne of God. We will have access to see God face to face. Face to face. Watch that. That is amazing. And you see, that would not have happened apart from the fall of man, because where there was no fall, there would be no need for the Word to become flesh and dwell among us. There would be no need for Jesus to have been born of a virgin. There'd be no need for the crucifixion, there'd be no need for the resurrection. But you see, it's because God loves fallen man that those events were allowed to happen so that we might gain life in heaven. So that we might gain life in heaven. You see, if it wasn't for the fall, if God had prevented the fall, or if Adam had chosen not to fall, how poorer would we be? We would not have the capacities that we have gained. We would not have the knowledge of God that we gain. We would not have the access that we gained. I want to close with this kind of final point from a sermon that was preached by John Wesley. And I'm going to close with this, because he puts it so well. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. Although 1,000 particulars of his judgment and his ways are unsearchable to us, and our past and past our finding, yet we may discern the general scheme running through time into eternity, according to the counsel of his own will, the plan that he had laid before the foundation of the earth. He created the parent of all mankind in his own image and permitted all men to be made sinner. By the disobedience of one man, that by the obedience of one, all who receive the free gift may be infinitely holier and happier for all eternity. For by the sin of one man, death entered the world. And by the obedience of one man, the riches and the fullness of God's grace and glory is made manifest to you and to me. And that richness is available. I could never serve a God that allows a child to die, says the skeptic. I could never serve a God that would send a person to hell, says the skeptic. And yet, precisely without those abilities for us to sin and for us to mess up our world in such a way that God had to intervene, we would not know the loving God that there is. We would not know the love of God. And yes, even hell itself is an act of God's love. Why? Why is hell an act of God's love? Because if God truly loves us, but we truly don't love him, it would be an act of most unkindness to be forced to be in his presence. And a loving God simply would not do that. Now let me ask you this. Have you chosen to trust God? Have you chosen to access the love that God has? If you haven't, today you can do that. And it's very simple. The scripture tells us that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he is Lord, he was made Lord of heaven because he came to earth, died, was buried, descended into hell, and rose again, making him Lord of all, Lord of life, Lord of death, Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. If you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I've said some mighty fancy religious words there. And let me break it down. What's confession? Confession is to say the same thing about ourselves that God has already said. What has God said? He said, I love you. I love you. That's what God has said. God has said, you make mistakes and you fall short. And because of those mistakes, you cannot be with me. And there's nothing you can do about it. God's also said, I've done it all through my son Jesus on that cross of wood. And all you have to do is trust. And I'll even give you the ability to trust. So, if you have never given your life to Jesus and you've never trusted your life into his hands, today's the day and you're the person, you'll make the choice and God will make the change. But here's the thing, without God, you can't. But God's already willing, God's already able. And without you, God's not going to force you. So all you need to do is bow your hearts. And if you're driving, don't close your eyes, please. We want you to go to heaven, just not today. Bow your hearts and pray this prayer with me. Lord God, thank you for loving me. I fall short of your righteous requirements, and I mess up. And because of that, I know that I do not deserve to be with you. I don't deserve to be called a child of God. But because you love me, I know that you have taken care of my debt, a debt that I cannot pay. And so, Father God, I accept the gift that Jesus gave on the cross, and I accept the debt that he has paid on my behalf. Forgive me of my sins and cover me in the blood of your Son, Jesus. And send the Holy Spirit that I might live a life pleasing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, we would like to hear from you. And you can contact us by email, staff@balance-point.org. You can catch us on our Facebook page. Just go to the Balance Point Church. You can catch us, you can message us on our YouTube channel, Balance Point Church, all one word. Google Plus, you can catch us. And we would like to hear what God is doing in your life. And if you prayed that prayer, we would like to hear from you because we want to come into agreement with you about what God's doing in your life. Also, you can contact us by mail at 1998 East Oris Street. That's O-R-I-S Street in Willowbrook, California, 90222. Also, if you're watching this, if you could do us a favor, if you listen to this as part of a group, we would like to know the effectiveness of these messages that we're putting out. And we would appreciate it if you could just drop us an email or a line, a postcard, whatever, and just tell us how many people at your location either watch the live stream, catch the post-recorded video, or catch the audio podcast. And we just want to know, because we like to know just how effective the Word of God is being in reaching out to you. Also, it encourages us to know that God is working in your lives. And now for those sites that are part of the Balance Point family, we're going to give you a blessing. And at this time, if you have an offering to take up for your local ministries, for local distribution, this will be the time to take up the local offerings. Remember, we don't have you send offerings back to the central location because you know best where you already are what the needs are in your groups. And so at this time, receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who love to love the fallen, who love to pour out lavishly grace and mercy and peace. Go in peace until we come together again. Amen and amen.